In this chapter, we've seen how the behaviour of the vast universe can be understood in terms of its history in imaginary time, which is a tiny, slightly flattened sphere. It is like Hamlet's nutshell. Yet this nut encodes everything that happens in real time. So Hamlet was quite right. We could be bounded in a nutshell and still count ourselves kings of infinite space. Chapter 4. Predicting the future. How the loss of information in black holes may reduce our ability to predict the future. The human race has always wanted to control the future, or at least to predict what will happen. That's why astrology is so popular. Astrology claims that events on Earth are related to the motions of the planets across the sky. This is a scientifically testable hypothesis, or would be if astrologers stuck their necks out and made definite predictions that could be tested. However, wisely enough, they make their forecasts so vague that they can apply to any outcome. Statements such as, personal relations may become intense, or you will have a financially rewarding opportunity, can never be proved wrong. But the real reason most scientists don't believe in astrology is not scientific evidence or the lack of it, but because it's not consistent with other theories that have been tested by experiment. When Copernicus and Galileo discovered that the planets orbit the sun rather than the Earth, and Newton discovered the laws that govern their motion, astrology became extremely implausible. Why should the positions of other planets against the background sky, as seen from Earth, have any correlations with the macromolecules on a minor planet that call themselves intelligent life? Yet this is what astrology would have us believe. There is no more experimental evidence for some of the theories described in this book than there is for astrology, but we believe them because they're consistent with theories that have survived testing. The success of Newton's laws and other physical theories led to the idea of scientific determinism, which was first expressed at the beginning of the 19th century by the French scientist, the Marquis de Laplace. Laplace suggested that if we knew the positions and velocities of all the particles in the universe at one time, the laws of physics should allow us to predict what the state of the universe would be at any other time in the past or in the future. In other words, if scientific determinism holds, we should in principle be able to predict the future and wouldn't need astrology. Of course, in practice, even something as simple as Newton's theory of gravity produces equations that we can't solve exactly for more than two particles. Furthermore, the equations often have a property known as chaos, so that a small change in position or velocity at one time can lead to completely different behavior at later times. As those who've seen Jurassic Park know, a tiny disturbance in one place can cause a major change in another. A butterfly flapping its wings in Tokyo can cause rain in New York Central Park. The trouble is, the sequence of events is not repeatable. The next time the butterfly flaps its wings, a host of other factors will be different and will also influence the weather. That's why weather forecasts are so unreliable. Thus, although in principle the laws of quantum electrodynamics should allow us to calculate everything in chemistry and biology, we've not had much success in predicting human behavior from mathematical equations. Nevertheless, despite these practical difficulties, most scientists have comforted themselves with the idea that, again in principle, the future is predictable. At first sight, determinism would also seem to be threatened by the uncertainty principle, which says that we can't measure accurately both the position and the velocity of a particle at the same time. The more accurately we measure the position, the less accurately we can determine the velocity, and vice versa. The Laplace version of scientific determinism held that if we knew the positions and velocities of particles at one time, we could determine their positions and velocities at any time in the past or future. But how could we even get started if the uncertainty principle prevented us from knowing accurately both the positions and the velocities at one time? However good our computer is, if we put lousy data in, we get lousy predictions out. However, determinism was restored in a modified form in a new theory called quantum mechanics, which incorporated the uncertainty principle. In quantum mechanics, one can, roughly speaking, accurately predict half of what one would expect to predict in the classical Laplace point of view. In quantum mechanics, A particle doesn't have a well-defined position or velocity, but its state can be represented by what is called a wave function. A wave function is a number at each point of space that gives the probability that the particle is to be found at that position. The rate at which the wave function changes from point to point tells how probable different particle velocities are. Some wave functions are sharply peaked at a particular point in space. In these cases, there is only a small amount of uncertainty in the position of the particle. But we can also see in the diagram that in such cases, the wave function changes rapidly near the point, up on one side and down on the other. That means the probability distribution for the velocity is spread over a wide range. In other words, the uncertainty in the velocity is large. Consider, on the other hand, a continuous train of waves. Now there is a large uncertainty in position, but a small uncertainty in velocity. So the description of a particle by a wave function does not have a well-defined position or velocity. It satisfies the uncertainty principle. We now realize that the wave function is all that can be well-defined. We can't even suppose that the particle has a position and velocity that are known to God, but are hidden from us. Such hidden variable theories predict results that are not in agreement with observation. Even God is bound by the uncertainty principle and can't know the position and velocity. He can only know the wave function. The rate at which the wave function changes with time is given by what is called the Schrödinger equation. If we know the wave function at one time, we can use the Schrödinger equation to calculate it at any other time, past or future. Therefore, there is still determinism in quantum theory, but it's on a reduced scale. Instead of being able to predict both the positions and the velocities, we can predict only the wave function. This can allow us to predict either the positions or the velocities, but not both accurately. Thus, in quantum theory, the ability to make exact predictions is just half what it was in the classical Laplace worldview. Nevertheless, within this restricted sense, it is still possible to claim that there is determinism. However, the use of the Schrödinger equation to evolve the wave function forward in time, that is, to predict what it will be at future times, implicitly assumes that time runs on smoothly, everywhere, forever. This was certainly true in Newtonian physics. Time was assumed to be absolute, meaning that each event in the history of the universe was labeled by a number called time, and that a series of time labels ran smoothly from the infinite past to the infinite future. This is what might be called the common sense view of time, and it is the view of time that most people and even most physicists have at the back of their minds. However, in 1905, as we've seen, the concept of absolute time was overthrown by the special theory of relativity, in which time was no longer an independent quantity on its own, but was just one direction in a four-dimensional continuum called space-time. In special relativity, different observers traveling at different velocities move through space-time on different paths. Each observer has his or her own measure of time along the path he or she is following, and different observers will measure different intervals of time between events. Thus, in special relativity, there is no unique absolute time that we can use to label events. However, the space-time of special relativity is flat. This means that in special relativity, the time measured by any freely moving observer increases smoothly in space-time from minus infinity in the infinite past to plus infinity in the infinite future. We can use any of these measures of time in the Schrödinger equation to evolve the wave function. In special relativity, therefore, we still have the quantum version of determinism. The situation was different in the general theory of relativity, in which space-time was not flat but curved and distorted by the matter and energy in it. In our solar system, the curvature of space-time is so slight, at least on a macroscopic scale, that it doesn't interfere with our usual idea of time. In this situation, we could still use this time in the Schrödinger equation to get a deterministic evolution of the wave function. However, once we allow space-time to be curved, the door is open to the possibility that it may have a structure that doesn't admit a time that increases smoothly for every observer, as we would expect for a reasonable measure of time. For example, suppose that space-time was like a vertical cylinder. Height up the cylinder would be a measure of time that increased for every observer and ran from minus infinity to plus infinity. However, imagine instead that space-time was like a cylinder with a handle or wormhole that branched off and then joined back. Then, any measure of time would necessarily have stagnation points where the handle joined the main cylinder, points where time stood still. At these points, time would not increase for any observer. In such a space-time, we couldn't use the Schrödinger equation to get a deterministic evolution for the wave function. Watch out for wormholes. You never know what may come out of them. Black holes are the reason we think time will not increase for every observer. The first discussion of black holes appeared in 1783. A former Cambridge Don, John Mitchell, presented the following argument. If one fires a particle, such as a cannonball, vertically upward, its ascent will be slowed by gravity, and eventually the particle will stop moving upward and will fall back. However, if the initial upward velocity is greater than a critical value called the escape velocity, gravity will never be strong enough to stop the particle, and it will get away. The escape velocity is about 12 kilometers per second for the Earth and about 100 kilometers per second for the Sun. Both of these escape velocities are much higher than the speed of real cannonballs, but they're small compared to the speed of light, which is 300,000 kilometers per second. Thus, light can get away from the Earth or Sun without much difficulty. However, Mitchell argued that there could be stars that are much more massive than the Sun and have escape velocities greater than the speed of light. We would not be able to see these stars because any light they sent out would be dragged back by the gravity of the star. Thus, they would be what Mitchell called dark stars, and we now call black holes.